Hi there. Welcome to The Preventable, the podcast giving you a seat at the table with conversations about the intersection of alcohol, drugs, and mental health in everyday lives. Take a seat and join us.
Welcome to The Preventable. As you all know, we wouldn't even be here without our sponsor, Hubbard Radio, who just has been supporting us now. This is our fourth season, gives us the studio space, just the tremendous support that we get from everybody at this radio station, at this company has just been just absolutely incredible. And we're just so grateful for them. With me today, I have two folks who are kind of new friends to me, but I feel like we've been friends for a long time because I think we have a lot in common and we're pushing in the same direction. So with me today are Dr. Marty K. Casey and Renee Cunningham, and they are with the Ungun Institute. Dr. Marty K. Casey is the founder and executive director, and Renee Cunningham is the executive assistant. Welcome, ladies.
Well, thank you, Nicole. Thank you for such that warm welcome. You are just a sweetheart.
Yes.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Really, really grateful to have you. And thank you. We're going to dive in. We're going to talk about all kinds of things.
That's right.
But I will tell you that I kept hearing the name of the Ungun Institute, and I kept hearing Dr. Marty K. Casey, and I was like, what is this? Like, who? And I would see your billboards in different spots in the city. And finally, I just kind of heard it one too many times, and I'm like, all right, we need to reach out and connect. And so since then, we've been thinking about different ways we can collaborate. Y'all are going to be providing some amazing training for some of our staff coming up. But can we start from... not the beginning, but can we start with kind of what is the Ungun Institute and where did the need come from?
Wow. Such an amazing question. And we get asked this all the time, of course, because the name, it's like, oh, I hear gun in there. What does that mean? Are you trying to infringe upon our Second Amendment rights? So let me just jump right in and say
let's just get it out of the way.
Right. It has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with that. Our focus is really helping families to disarm from trauma. Mm. And trauma, as we look at it from our company side, we look at it on a spectrum. So it could be bullying in the school. It could be... domestic violence, it could be suicide, up to gun violence. Mm. We know that all of that is traumatic. All of that causes so much hurt and pain from not just the individual who's experiencing it, but even the individuals that are attached to them. Mm-hmm. So we look at that as community trauma. And so helping families to ungun, meaning get rid of, do away with, let go of any hurt and pain that is stuck and not serving you any longer. You can't change what happened, right? So the story's still going to be the story of what happened to you. So we can't change that. But what we can do is ungun the feelings behind it. And that is helping people to emotionally and socially understand how to deal with what has taken place in their life. And when we're talking about trauma, it can be from a one-time event to a very traumatic event that happens over and over. And it also could be a multiple of events. So no matter how it shows up.
Or generational
yes, trauma. Right. There's so many different types of trauma. So we want to focus on helping people to feel better. Because if we can help you feel better, we know you'll do better and you'll be better.
So I know that obviously there's a lot of connection between substance use disorder and trauma. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times substance use disorder is what we see because of the trauma that has occurred, right? So it's like the symptom of what we see.
Yes.
I would probably posit that gun violence is another symptom that we see, or, you know, self-harm or bullying or whatever, because there's so much stuff kind of under the surface.
Absolutely.
You said something about, you know, we can't change what happened to us, but we can also, but what we can change
how we feel about it.
How we feel about it and how we respond.
How we respond. That's right. The fact that we can get you to respond, because usually what's happening is you've been reacting. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about when would a school or organization call you all? Like, I would imagine it's usually, pardon my French, when the shit has hit the fan.
I'm so glad you said it. It's right? Your show.
I mean, it's usually when something has happened and they're like, oh, wait, we've got some stuff going on.
Well, it's a parent that calls us or community partners. We call them our community angels. The good thing about Dr. Marty, and she knows I affectionately call her the mayor. And
you do seem to know everyone.
Oh my God, she doesn't meet a stranger. And more importantly, they understand that she has a heart for the people. And no matter what area she comes into the room, she's there to help and bring the, to elevate you to the next level. Mm-hmm. It can be from, we had a young couple that was actually sleeping in their van. Oh. And they had a set of twins and a 1-month-old.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm.
That is devastation and trauma in itself. And the beautiful thing about that story is that the young people didn't call her. It was one of her community partners. She worked with a young woman that owns a, was it a car dealership or like a Mako or something?
Yeah, Mako.
She saw that the police was getting ready to arrest the young man. They were living out of their car. And she said, we need some help. Now, that's not a mayor call. I don't know what is.
Right.
But what Dr. Marty did and what Ungun was able to do is really because of her platform and her level of influence is put out a cry of help for those people that don't have a voice to cry.
Sure.
And from that point there, being able to supply clothing and getting them a place to stay and providing them some sense of just to get an opportunity to stop letting the rain come, you know, to get out of the storm for a minute. She has that ability to do that. And not just in that instance, even in the schools. When you talk to her about why are you in the schools and what she's doing, I've seen the impact of young ladies and men that don't feel like they can talk to the quote-unquote adults that are over them. They don't trust them anymore.
The one thing
and they
I
don't want to get in trouble and they don't want something to.
Thank you, Renee, for bringing that to my remembrance. But the one thing that I want to add in terms of how we move with Ungun, we trauma trace. Yeah. And so this is a word that I've created to help to basically explain what
it's trademarked. Don't steal that.
It is trademarked.
Dr. Marty has this. Yeah. She will come for you.
You would get a letter from RLC at UngunInstitute.com. All right.
Yes, you know you will. So tell me more about this thing that
I'm asking.
Trauma tracing.
Okay.
What is it?
So trauma tracing. I'm going to give you an example of what we did in that situation. Okay. Here's a young man that just went to jail for the night. When he comes out, he still has to be ahead of his family with this young mother and their 3 babies, and they're still homeless. The first person that I need to identify in getting the help was him.
Yes, that's right.
It's him. Because if not, that could have trauma traced and turned into now not just her having suicidal thoughts, but also that being a domestic violence situation because of the children. Well, because of you, they call the police.
Right.
Because of you, I sat in jail. So it becomes a blame game, right? Mm-hmm. So we're following the trauma in this family at that particular time. And when I showed up on the scene, I pulled him aside and said, I need to know what you need. What do you have and what do you need in this moment? He needed clothes, they needed food, and they needed a place to stay. The very first thing that I knew that I could do immediately was get him some clothes. We went to the nearest Family Dollar and I got him what he needed because he didn't have anything. Mm. Okay. And so from there, we got the family food, and then immediately we started working on shelter for all of them. And I am just grateful to our community partners because there was one in particular that made sure that that first and last month rent was paid for them.
Yes.
And they are still in a home now and they're doing so much better than they were in that moment. So tracing that trauma allows you to see where the need is in that moment, what's bubbling up, what is about to explode, what could make the situation worse. And that's what we deal with, and we follow it all the way around. So it's like the cycle. The trauma is on a cycle, right?
Yes.
And so we have to follow it so that we can disarm it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which in a way is prevention.
Yes.
That's why you're one of our partners.
Because, I mean, you did that with that family.
Absolutely.
Yes. You didn't prevent him getting arrested, but you prevented all of the other things that could have happened. And in a way, then, you know, if you really take that, extrapolate that, you're preventing further generational trauma. Right.
Absolutely. So that's interesting within itself, because as we trauma trace and we begin to unfold some of the things that was going on with him, he lost his father when he was a freshman in high school. And we're talking about young parents here. They're yes. both under 21. Mm. With three children.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when you said I didn't prevent him from going to jail, well, I didn't get the call until he got arrested,
exactly.
remember?
Yep.
But the good news is he hasn't been arrested since.
Exactly. So you interrupted it.
So we disarmed it. We disarmed it.
Yeah. It's what's called indicated prevention. So excited.
I love it.
But this is personal for you.
Right. Very,
I mean, no one founds or creates an organization without having a passion right. or a personal connection or a thing that keeps them up at night that they want to tackle. So could you talk a little bit about that and sort of what led you to creating this?
Sure. The first thing that I want to say is that we are not a non-for-profit.
Mm-hmm.
We're an LLC. And I can get to that as to why I chose for it to be an LLC. But the first thing that I want to say, at the age of 8, my great grandmother on my father's side was gunned down in her home on Good Friday.
Mm.
Someone broke out of a hospital, broke into her home to steal a black and white television.
Oh, my goodness.
Why? Because he had a drug addiction. Mm-hmm. He was smoking weed. So we're talking about years ago, because look at where we are now
yep.
with you know, that substance. But at the bottom line is that my great-grandmother was gunned down and stabbed to death in her home for that reason. I was 8. Fast forward, my brother in the neighborhood that we grew up in, which was my great-grandmother's home, my brother had an altercation with a gentleman, and it was in that moment he felt like it was his life or the gentleman's life. And my brother, unfortunately, was the one who pulled the trigger and took a life.
Mm.
I tried to run outside to save the man's life.
Oh, my goodness. And, how old were you?
23. I think I was 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you ran out trying to save this man's life.
Yes. Yes.
And it was not successful.
I was not successful. But the images in my mind.
Oh, they're burned in.
Yeah. And so I started to really become familiar with how trauma really shows up in the mind, the body, and the spirit. Because in that moment, I didn't realize it until later. But in that moment, when I saw the body, and my mind just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what happened from the moment of seeing the body to then being questioned by the police back inside of the house. There was several minutes in between that time, but I can't visually see that or remember any of those things.
Mm.
And what I later found out is that my body, to keep me safe from blowing, from my mind just feeling like it was exploding in that moment emotionally, it shut down. It powered down some things. And the one thing that it powered down was my hearing in my left ear. I still can't hear today because of the trauma, because my body had to shut down some windows to keep it from coming. So if you think about it, what was happening in that moment, the commotion that was happening outside, all of that is what I was hearing from the left and the right. And so my body was like,
overload.
It was sensory overload.
Yep.
And it shut down my hearing. And in the first 72 hours, it's like that is the window that you have to, it's almost like First 48. Have you ever watched that show?
I have.
First
48? Yes. It's like those are the biggest.
Yeah,
Yep.
It's like, so you have 48 hours to kind of like really gather all of what is happening. And if you're going to solve that, that problem. Well, it's the same thing when the body shuts down from trauma. You have 72 hours to kind of get everything back and back centered. So if I had known that I had
like
lost
homostasis,
my hair,
whatever, like you've got to reset.
You got to reset. And if I had known that that's what was happening in 72 hours, they probably could have saved my hearing, is what my ENT doctor stated to me. But because I did not know, there was a ringing that was happening in my ear.
Mm.
But my focus wasn't
on
me.
Of course not.
The situation was bigger than the ringing in my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And so if there's anything that I can say to our viewers today, when yourself or your family members experience an extreme traumatic situation, stop and ask the proper questions. How do you feel? Is there anything going on in your body right now that feels different, that is showing up differently? Do we need to go to urgent care? Do you you feel like we need, you know, stop and check on everyone's blood pressure. Do all of those things in those 72 hours if you can, because the body is reacting to what just happened.
You know, I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm. And I've done trauma work and I've never, but it makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's why somebody works like a super stressful job. And then the second that they like leave that job, they get sick or they... Yeah. Cancer rears up, and it's because the body was like trying to focus on other things and preservation.
Yes.
Correct. Wow.
Now you mentioned something. You mentioned something regarding the billboards, and I'm going to allude to that as a response that Dr. Marty has come up with, the Stop, Breathe, Think campaign. And that was actually in a line of, she had been in St. Louis Public Schools, servicing over 13 schools, helping children to disarm and work through some things itself. But she wanted to make sure it wasn't just in the school. She wanted the community to be involved.
Sure.
And now we're
because if kids go home to school or to communities, to homes that aren't backing up what we just taught, then, I mean, why are we even doing this?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't want to lose that downtime during the summer.
That's right.
She got so many calls from students or parents that say, oh, I saw your billboard, or people that saw our billboard. But the bigger message behind it is that we actually have documented proof that the homicides went down during that summer.
You know, we dropped from number one before we put the billboards up. We were number one in St. Louis for murders last summer.
Mm-hmm.
We're now number three.
Yes. Those are things.
Messaging matters.
Messaging matters.
It matters. You know.
And again, also seeing people that look like you.
Yes.
You know, I mean, representation matters. Correct. Messaging matters. Mm-hmm. And having something positive in a neighborhood when there's a lot of things that can be negative.
Like a gun show.
Like a gun show.
Coming to an area near you on these dates.
Right.
And those were billboards we were seeing. And I wanted to say, okay, I'm not here to knock anybody in whatever it is they're advertising and selling. I just don't think that we can get far in a solution as long as we continue to attack and compare to, you know, others. But I wanted to make sure that I could at least put up some positive messaging to balance that out.
Right.
So it wasn't me attacking, but it was me trying to balance out. Yeah. But what I found interesting, I noticed that when some of our billboards started to come down, that other billboard went up in that same space. So it was very intentional.
Hmm.
You know, messaging like, no, we're purposely here. We purposely want this to be the message in this area because we want to continue to see violence happening in this city. And I'm sorry. I live here. I was born and raised here. And as long as I am here, I'm going to be doing the work that I feel is necessary to save lives. I don't count deaths. I count lives.
Yeah. Well, and because you're here and you've been here, but you've traveled a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're supporting the future generations and the current generations of this area through the work at the Ungun Institute.
Yes.
But also through the arts.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think about a nonprofit, that's really where Show Me Arts comes in. But you're kind of a big deal, right?
You're talking about the global peace.
I'm just talking about like you, like
the ambassador we have over here.
Sure. Like all of the things that you're like, oh, well, I can't do this day because I'm going to be overseas in this performance, or, oh, I was in that performance for 12 years and I was like talk about your, I'll say, career in the arts.
Sure.
And did you get drawn to that because it helped you sort of express yourself?
Oh my goodness, what a story to tell, isn't it?
I'm like, yay!
What a story to tell. I'm gonna try to make it quick though, but if it was not for music, I doubt if I would be sitting here in the studio with you today. Music is what saved my life, and we hear a lot of people talk about that, but I'm going to give you my quick backstory. I grew up in a household where my father was an alcoholic, and he came from a household.
More trauma.
Yep. He came from a household where his father was an alcoholic. So he imitated and did the things that he he, you know, seen every day, and he brought it into his world and our world. My brother and I watching my mother and father argue, fight, physically fight. My mother, eye hanging out the socket and nose broken. Just all these things. As a little girl, I'm witnessing this up until the age of 8. At the age of 8, I was the one who called 911 because I found my mother in the restroom face down where she tried to take her life. And my mother said it was the look that was on my face at the time as the ambulance was carrying her out that made her say, I have to do something different for my children. My children are worth me trying to stay alive for. To this day, my mother is still here with us. Oh. To God be the glory. My father is deceased. My father took his last breath, and I was on the phone when my father took his last breath. How interesting. But the point that I'm making here, all of that trauma that I've seen, all of the violence and the abuse that I witnessed, where did it go inside of me, inside my mind, inside my body, inside my heart? What did it do? How did it reframe me? Well, here I am, fast forward in school. Anytime someone did or said anything to me that then caused me to react from a place of violence, or you're trying to beat me up, or you're trying to say, you know, I reacted, didn't respond. I reacted, because if you respond, you're going to do what Renee just mentioned. Stop, take a breath, and think. Mm. And in your thinking, you're going to remember who you are, what you're worth, and what you have to lose. That's what that thinking is for. But I didn't do that. I just kept reacting. So someone say something to me, oh, boom, I'm jumping in. I fought a teacher.
Whoa.
I fought a teacher.
Whoa.
And I got expelled for 90 days from a school district. I'm going to name that school district because I think this is a real important. Riverview Gardens. I moved from Castle Point because in order for me to graduate on time in 1989, I told my mother I was dropping out. She said, no, we will move. She moved us from Castle Point to Webster Groves. That demographically is a major difference and shift. Okay. I was there 30 days before I had another fight.
Ugh.
30 days, and here I am fighting again. It was in that moment that I realized something was happening with me. Like, why am I allowing all of these people to hurt me, and this is my reaction?
Right.
But I just didn't understand that.
Well,
it took
a
music
teacher.
You're also
in high school.
I'm in high school. So, but it was a beautiful music teacher that I'm still friends with today, Miss Vicky Bourne. Ah, I love her. We're friends on Facebook.
I love this.
It was my beautiful music teacher that said to me, Marty, you're gifted and doors are going to open for you. But as soon as they open, they're going to close if you don't change what's going on the inside.
Stop it.
She gave me the location of where the anger was coming from. That's where the word ungun comes from, because I felt like I was gunning up.
Yep.
Every time
you
somebody
were arming
did something,
yourself.
I was arming myself ready to go to war. So in order to ungun, I needed to get this stuff out of me in a safe way. And she said to me, this is how we're going to do it. I am going to allow you. And it's interesting because we're in Black History Month right now.
Right now.
So in October.
We're recording in February, BT.
Yeah, if you hear this another time. Right. But the bottom line is that she said to me in that October, if you don't get in any altercations, any fights, for Black History Month, I will allow you to sing a solo in front of everyone, parents, the administrators, your peers, all of that. You will get a chance to sing and let them hear who you are.
That's the carrot. That was the
that
carrot.
That was the carrot. Listen, let me tell you, Nicole, people still was testing my gangsta.
Oh, I'm sure they were. Oh, but I'm sure that testing your gangster. Oh my God, that's amazing. That might be the podcast title.
Some of my favorite movies is Scarface and the Godfather trilogy.
Okay.
That's what I grew up
all
on.
Right,
and I
they
love
were
them,
testing
right.
your gangster.
They was
but
my gangster, but I was able to avoid the complications and the altercations and the situations. And the way I was able to do that by controlling myself,
because
I couldn't control them. And I'm like, oh, I remember what you said. I'll see you in March. I got to get through February because I'm not going to respond right now. I'm not going to react to that right now. And by the time I sang that solo.
What was it?
Now, Lord, you don't have to move the mountains, but give me the strength to climb. Now, Lord, don't you take away my stumbling blocks, but just lead me all around. I sang that song, Nicole. I sang that song, and that was my saving grace. And when I finished, before I got to the last note, everyone in that place was standing to their feet with tears in their eyes and clapping for little old me. The little, short, chubby black girl from another community who just moved here. They were clapping for me. And that was what I needed to ungun and to elevate my value from the inside. And from that moment, I started teaching others how to do it. You just need to focus on your gifts and talents.
Find that positive outlet.
Find what makes you tick.
Yes.
From the inside, there's something you're plugged into. And if you can just see it for yourself, you know it when you see it.
And if you have a trusted adult that also
sees it and sees you.
Yes.
And hold on to that.
That's when magic happens.
She gave me an opportunity to live in the green is what we call it. Mm. I live my best life in the green. When you're in the red, that's where all the danger is. That's where the violence is happening.
Anger.
That's where you're showing up foul. In the yellow is caution. This is where your decisions are. This is where if you make the right decision, you can either move towards the green or it's going to move you to the red. I was able to move to the green, and that is where I live. So I started off as a little young girl in pieces, and now I am a global peace ambassador because I go around the world telling others how to live in the green.
And you do that through
the arts,
Ungun Institute, through the arts.
Yes, through the arts.
Yes.
Because it's a safe place and it's a universal language, right? If I gave us something to paint right now and said, okay, just what I want you to do is just paint your day.
Mm-hmm.
Paint your day. All of our pictures are going to look differently. Yeah. We're in the same day, but they're going to look differently because we have different experiences. Mm-hmm.
And people are paying attention and have been for a long time. So I know beforehand, I said, okay, what kind of fancy things do we have coming up that we need to plug? And Renee, I know. Tell me first about the award. I mean, first of all, your list of awards is probably several pages long, honestly. And you're not going to bang your halo, but tell me about the most recent recognition that you're going to be getting.
Well, you know what? I'm going to let Renee share that part, but I do want to share this to finish up that story with Webster Groves. I'm very, very proud of two things. One, in November of 2023, I was able to go back to my school, Webster Groves, where I graduated on time in 1989.
Good.
And I am the first black woman to hit the wall of fame for my class of 1989. You can find me on the wall in Webster Groves. And just last week, I was able to go back to the school where the trauma happened. And I stood there in front of all of the administration and a room full of young ladies that was celebrating through an event called Love Yourself. And I was able to apologize for my actions of what I had done to that teacher in the very same spot. And I didn't even know I was going to be in the same spot. Where we were celebrating was in the library, but they changed the library. They moved it from where it was to it's the old office. So my trauma started bubbling back up when I walked into that building.
I can imagine.
And I'm like, these girls have no idea what I'm about to say today. And I said to them, I'm standing in the very spot that I was 35 years ago when I made one of the biggest mistakes of my life. And before I can pour into you, I first need to ungun and pour out and to apologize for my actions.
Mm.
Powerful, isn't it?
It is.
It's amazing. That's the wonderful thing about God and how he gives us the full circle moments if we allow him to do the work.
That's
Dr.
Right.
Marty has done the work, and the work has shown up so that even with the award, she has been nominated and will receive the Unsung Hero Award by Zeta Beta Sorority here in St. Louis. She will also be receiving an award from the National Coalition of 100 Black Women here locally as one of their recipients. And that award is, she was selected by a committee of more than 100. This is their 40th anniversary, and she'll be crowned pretty much as one of their queens itself. So there's so much good stuff going on. And she did, and you did kind of allude to it, but she's going to go to Spain in May as well as one of the Global Peace Speaker or ambassadors as well. Her calendar is full, but the good thing about it, she never forgets home. St. Louis is her heart.
And the calendar is full.
Yeah.
Especially with those trainings we're doing in June, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
But you've not forgotten about home, but you're also leaving room in your calendar to continue the work at the Ungun Institute.
Correct. Absolutely.
So we don't want people to think that you're too booked for them to reach out to you all.
No, we do workshops, and we have private ungunning sessions. We have speaking engagements, as you see, just so many. And we're always looking for community partners. Like, we're excited. We're going to be partnering for a very big event coming up in August with a Red Circle.
Oh, and they're great.
Because we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of the unrest of Ferguson.
That's right.
And so we feel that what we are creating together will really allow our culture, our communities.
Maybe you should
and
come
our,
back
yes,
with Red Circle.
That would be great.
And let's talk about it.
So we're excited about that partnership. So we're always looking for partners.
Always looking for partners. And
because we have another one with that dial.
That I was just going to say. So can we talk about the Oscars for a second?
Oh, yes.
Let me pull up
drum
my prop.
Roll, please.
And
that's right.
What is happening?
Yes.
Tell me.
So we're so excited that.
I mean, this is kind of cool. Tell me.
Thank you. So this is a partnership. The young lady that actually created these I Am dials and their affirmation dials. Her name is.
On the back it says, I am beautifully and wonderfully made. I'm worthy. I'm loving. I'm kind. I'm brave. I am rich in every way. I'm intelligent. I will do great things. I am a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I am protected. I am chosen. I am a world changer.
And that's the I Am Dow, created originally by Nishan Harvey. But as I said to Nishan, I said, Nishan, these are beautiful all by themselves. But when I think about the work that I do and the individuals that I work with, what about the children who's lost their parents to gun violence? Before they can say those things on the back, I have to help them get to a place of healing.
Yes.
And so we have created these dials, adding layers to now make them emotional support dials by those the bag of things that she's holding.
Yes.
These are all there's 7 different things that children can do to help them to remember to stop, breathe, and think. And taking time in versus a time out. Time in means going inside of self, being able to self-serve so that when you come out, you can be better amongst others. And so these are the things that we teach. We have a stress ball in there. And just so, and then you see the ungun patch on our skirt. And so in the little red glasses, Dr. Marty normally wears red glasses. And so those are the things that make this an emotional support dial. But this is a partnership, because why recreate the wheel? I would have taken time away from what we do on a daily to go and design a dial and get all of that done when I could just partner with someone.
Sure.
And those are the types of things that we love to do, Nicole. And that's why we're so excited about Prevent Ed and, you know, being able to partner with you all coming in to do a workshop.
Yes. We are thrilled. But how'd you get to the Oscars?
What is happening?
So is this dial, part of the swag bag?
Yes, so the dial
this is the swag bag?
So it's not the swag bag, but we're going to give them the tools that she's holding.
Yes.
That's going to be in the swag bags, those tools. But we're going to give them an opportunity.
Like the Oscars, just so people hear us straight, like the Oscars.
These are the Oscars in March, and we're going to California.
Like Timothy Chalamet is
Hollywood.
You know,
we're going to Hollywood. and I've been doing this actually for the last 3 years. years.
This is not the first time. I go to the Emmys and the Oscars. It's old news by now.
I mean, I'm stoked.
They keep inviting her back, though. That's the beautiful thing about, because Hollywood understands that you can give me all of the trinkets and the gold and stuff, but when I go home, how's my heart?
Yeah.
And when I go home, how am I mentally and physically being able to leave one character and come back and be in my house?
So they get the tools that help them go inside.
Yes, absolutely. It's for adults as well, because some of us like...
They're not getting the doll.
No, they can order the dolls. Where can we order the dolls?
On ungunninstitute.com. There is a link on there on our shop side. You can order Dr. Marty and her best friend,
Bree K.
Bree K. So we do not want to let you guys know. This is Miss Bree K. She is out there as well. And these emotional support dolls are available as we speak now for you and your family. You may have a grandmother that wants to revert back and just needs some things to help her kind of distress and get things back in line.
So like Viola Davis has these tools.
Hey, exactly. we're gonna make it happen.
Oh, my God.
There for everyone. Ungun is for everyone.
Yes.
It really is. And just, I'll also say this, because a lot of times when we see something like a doll, we think of it being a toy. It really isn't, because we're all dealing with childhood trauma.
Yeah. Yes.
Something happened in childhood that still may be stuck inside of you. Go back and through creative play, take yourself back mentally. Mm-hmm. Be able to stop and just take some breaths and think and hold that dial near your heart and see what surfaces for you. Mm-hmm. And we're all about this. We let people choose to be however they are. We accept everyone, right? That's just what we do. But we also have trucks, because we do understand that there are individuals that say, well, you know, I have a boy and I wouldn't want my boy to play with a doll. That's your choice. So we have trucks that have those same tools.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes. Well, and you know, the idea of stuffed animals or security blankets or things like that. I mean, that is old as time.
Correct.
Yeah. What I think is not old as time is asking, like, why they have those things.
Yes.
Right? Like, why they feel the need to have a security blanket when they're 35.
Mm-hmm.
Just
and I wanna,
a
I wanna,
thought.
I want to add a quick little story that I was just told the other day from a grown man who said that when he was 10, the worst trauma of his life happened to him, where a family member put a gun to his head and asked him, are you gay?
Oh.
And he said no. And he says, good, because if you were, I was going to pull the trigger.
Ugh.
He, as a grown man, the other day sharing this story with Renee and I and some others, you could still see, hear, and understand the trauma that's still stuck on him.
It's like, and it's palpable,
and
right?
And he was like, where can I get one of these dolls?
Mm.
Because, again, it took him back to his childhood, and he is. And he says, and I am, but as an adult, I can say this out loud because I can protect myself. But at 10, he didn't feel that he could. Yeah. So this doll helped him to remember that moment.
Mm.
We have much work to do.
We have a lot of work to do.
And the good thing about it is that the partnership that you all have developed has allowed you the opportunity to have the plan laid out to help and to offer individuals. What we ask individuals, if you need to and want to get in contact with Dr. Marty or Ungun Institute for any type of event that you're having that you need her to speak at, or you want to talk to her, your employees itself, just like we're doing at Prevent Ed as far as with a workshop, you can follow her on all social medias at Dr. Marty K. Casey.
She's great. She's the best.
Oh, thank you. Then Ungun Institute, it is oneword.com as well. We do have an info form that you can email and reach out to us. More importantly, Nicole, we thank you for this opportunity because it has allowed us the opportunity at this stage and this time. We know there's a lot of things going on. This is an election year that Dr. Marty always talks about. So there's a lot of things emotionally that people are dealing with.
Presidential election year.
Correct.
That's the thing. And a lot of trauma attached to that. And we're, again, it's almost like the guns. We're not here to tell you you should own a gun or not own a gun. We're not here to tell you who to vote for or who not to vote for. But what we are here to tell you is that there are some traumas that's embedded in these things.
Yep.
Right. If you choose to own a gun, we ask you to practice gun safety. We're partnered also with the sheriff's office here in the city of St. Louis, because we are really big on teaching gun safety. Right. We know that simple things can trigger us as this presidential election comes up, there's going to be a lot of individuals going to be triggered. And so we just want you to get out in front of it.
Presidential election, local elections, some ballot things that are
10-year anniversary of the unrest.
I was just going to say 10-year anniversary of that unrest and our response or non-response. Yes. I mean, there's a lot. The economy, like, there's a lot going on.
Still in COVID?
I don't know. We're still there. Yeah.
Yes, we are.
And so what I am privileged to do is to be able to highlight what you all are doing, because I think it's truly incredible. And I think it's a really invaluable resource for the community, but also for an individual, because it really can be life-changing. Mm-hmm. I'm just so grateful for you all spending the time with us today and just really, you know, honored to be one of the community partners. So congratulations on all of the amazing things happening.
Thank you. We're going to try to get you some autographs.
Okay. Please. Could I also get Bradley Cooper's number?
I think she need to get an invitation. We'll be on the plane on March 7th through the 9th. You can come with us. Hope she doesn't have to record that day.
You are amazing, Nicole, and we thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And I want to just say this. Very rarely do we sit down with individuals who sit in a position where it's their job and they come across as happy as you are. That tells me that you carry the heart of the work inside of yourself. Yes. Thank you for that.
Thank you. That means a lot. If you liked what you heard, please consider rating and reviewing. If you want to subscribe, that's super cool too. But if you don't do any of those things, please go check out ungunninstitute.com.
That is correct.
And follow them on all the socials. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at The Preventable, brought to you ad-free by PreventEd. PreventEd works to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education, intervention, and advocacy. Please visit their website at PreventEd.org. Like what you heard? Rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date with what we are serving on The Preventable.